Good Sunday morning. You're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer. Access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong.
This is perhaps the most profound and yet the most simple message found within the 66 books of the entire Bible. There are many things that will remain a question in our hearts until we see the Lord in our glorified bodies and He grants us divine revelation. But there are other things for which no further proof is required. The matter is settled. The issue is closed. The conclusion is decisive. The love of God is one of those such things. Of all the things that leave questions in our mind, of all the things that cause lingering doubt, the love of God does not leave any doubt in our hearts that Jesus does love us. There's no equivocating, no wondering, no doubt about it. Jesus loves me. This I know. Some things you just have to know. There's nothing anyone could tell you to convince you or persuade you otherwise. I cannot be dissuaded from moving from this point, this reference, this fact, this knowledge, this truth, this conclusion that Jesus does love me. And I pray before we finish this broadcast that if you didn't know it before we started, that when we conclude, you have the same concrete assurance that Jesus loves you too. An old favorite song that we used to sing in Sunday school says, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And what we want to talk about this morning is, yes, Jesus loves me. When I consider who I am and all that I have done, when I consider how I have come short of the glory of God, how I have had so many missteps in my life, It is astounding to know, and I do know, that Jesus loves me.
Amen. The Bible tells us so. You're right. First thing that we learned in Sunday school was the song, Jesus Loved Me, Yes, I Know. And I'm so thankful for that. And when you talk about that God's love is unconditional, it means that it doesn't matter what we do, how far and how dark our days have been, that He is the one that loves us unconditionally. Romans 5, verse 8, it says, But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we should be saved by His life. And what that tells me is that before I knew Him, that we were enemies of Christ. But because of the love of God, He didn't even take in consideration what I had done. He didn't even take in consideration what I said. He didn't take in consideration that I had rejected him, but his love was so great that it pursued me and persuaded me and it wooed me to the point that now I'm in love with him as he is in love with me.
Amen. One translation in the Message Bible, it says, God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatsoever to him. I mean, while we were enemies of the cross of Christ, he loved us. When we didn't know him, didn't care to know him, didn't want to know him, he loved us. And he didn't just love us in word, but he loved us in deed, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Scarcely for a righteous man would any of us want to give our life, but he gave his life for the low down, no good, nothing sinners. I mean, we who were of no use to him, we who provided no earthly reason for why he should die for us, he died for us. And that lets us know his love is unconditional. Oh, it's not predicated upon how good you live or how well you live or how many days a week you go to church or even how much money you tithe or give into the offering. His love is because of who he is. The Bible said God is love. The mystery is not that you can in turn love a wonderful God back. The mystery is that without any reason, this wonderful God has demonstrated his love to you without any reason or cause. So the great mystery is not that you love him, but that Jesus loves you.
What is man that you're so mindful of us, and the Son of Man that he would come visit us? And oftentimes when I think about the goodness of the Lord, I think about that scripture, and it says, what is man that you are so mindful of? What is it about us that the angels even look into and wonder? What is it so much about us that you will pursue us with an everlasting love, and that you would clean us up from all the filth and the sin that we have committed, and called us justified from our sins? And what kind of God would be so mindful of us that you would just look over the things that we have done, because you have the power to clean us up? And that's the reason why we don't understand why anyone else would serve any other God, because there was no other God that would send his son to redeem us back unto him. Redemption means is to take back that which was once yours. You're taking it back. And even in the book of Isaiah, it says that I came after you with a vengeance, meaning when the enemy tricked and bamboozled Eve and caused all mankind and even Adam to go into sin, that he did not stop there, but he came with a vengeance to take us back from the hand of the enemy. Why? Because he created us. We were formed in our, he formed us in our mother's womb. He thought about us before our mothers and fathers even could even conceive us. And he came after us with a vengeance.
Amen. Jesus loves me.
Yes, he does.
This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Not only is God's love unconditional, but God's love is an action word. In John 3:16, one of the most quoted scriptures in the entire Bible, even unbelievers know and quote this scripture in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I mean, the love of God, the love that he has for you and me compelled him to action. He didn't just talk about his love. He didn't just write about his love. He didn't just sing about his love, but he demonstrated his love in that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should have life in Christ Jesus. God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son for us. The love of God compelled him to give. I don't know what kind of love we demonstrate one to the other, or what kind of love we demonstrate back to God. But if our love is not an action word, that is not the kind of love that God demonstrated to us. You heard people say many times, love is not what it says, but love is what it does. I don't really need to know how much you love me by what you say, but I need to know how much you love me by what you do. I mean, have you ever run across those people who always talk about how much they love you, but when the rubber meets the road, you can't find them? They're never there for you. They always have an excuse, a reason why they couldn't show up, a reason why they couldn't be there, a reason why they didn't call you, a reason why they weren't with you. But when you really love someone, your deeds, your actions will dictate much louder than your words could ever proclaim that you love them, because it's what you do for them. It's how that parent loves that child when we look and we wonder, how could they continue with that bad child? Because there's a love that a parent has to a for a child that we can't even understand, except you have loved a child. But even in that, God says, you might even forsake your children while you're nursing them, but I will never forsake you. I love you. My love is forever. It endures forever and ever. And my love for you is an action word. I will put action behind my words. I will demonstrate my love for you. How have you demonstrated your love for God?
My Lord, how have you demonstrated your love for God? How many times have you have called upon his name? How many times as he speaks to you, you are obedient to do his will? How many times do you tell him that you love him? Don't you know when you tell God that you love him, that is worship? When you tell him that you adore him, that is worship. When you tell him, I can't do anything without you, that is worship. You're honoring the God. When you tell God that you're the best thing that ever happened to me, that is worship. When you honor him and come before him and speaking to him, that's worship. When you confess your faults and your sins before him, that's worship. When you lift up your hands unto the Lord, that's worship. When you call upon his name in the darkest hour, that is worship. You're saying you are worthy to be praised. That is saying that no one else can help me but you. That's saying to God that I loved you, Lord, and I'm going to seek you as much as I can. Oh my God, even in speaking this, I just go into a worship of God and thinking about all the things that he's done for me. And the thing about it is that we didn't deserve any of that. Matter of fact, his word says his mercy endured forever. He doesn't give us what we truly deserve. He really isn't fair. If he was, my God, we would definitely would not, we would be without help. But God said, my mercy. When he says my mercy, he's saying my love endureth forever. And we oftentimes wonder, how can God love those who spit in his face? How can God love those who say that they do not believe him? He says, listen, I love them with an everlasting love. I'm telling you, just as you were saying about a parent will stick with you through thick and thin.
Hallelujah. And make no mistake about it. You did not and could not and will never be able to earn the love of God.
My Lord.
To emphasize the point, he died while you were in your worst condition. You were wretched and undone, filthy and unclean. And God is not offended by the stench of our sins. He's not offended by the drugs in your vein, the alcohol on your breath, or the residue of your mess. The church might well be offended, but I offer unto you a God that says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. If you're tired or worn out, ready for the peace with God, come to him and he will ease your burden and give you rest. Oh, how he loves you and me. I mean, he paid a price. What more could Jesus have done for you than what he has already done? He gave his life at Calvary to demonstrate just how much he loves you. I remember they used to sing a song about the Lord on the cross, and they said when the question was asked of Jesus, how much do you love me? He stretched his arms wide and hung his head and died to show you, to demonstrate, this is how much I love you, that I'm willing to take your place on the cross, give my life in your stead, suffer the brutality of the crucifixion, and I'm willing to do it all while you're denying me, rejecting me, spitting on me, and calling me out of my name. I love you that much because God's love, hallelujah, never fails. We thank God that He loves us. Oh, how He loves you and me.
Oh, how He loves you and me.
The song says, oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He cares for me. Oh, how He has given His life for me. When I hear that song, I'm telling you, it just calls me to go into just a heavenly delight, just to know, just to hear the words and the melody of that song. It just puts me in the mind that, you know, going back, thinking about what God has done for us, how He has given His Son that we might go free, that He has broken, oh my God, the power of sin over our lives. I am so thankful that He loves me. What kind of God, as we said before, will pursue you and woo you and bring you to the realization that He loves you? And there's no other God that has the power to deliver us from those things that have held us captive. And it's all about redemption. It's all about reconciliation. That's the reason why the Bible says there is no other name whereby men can be saved but by the name of Jesus, because there is no other that have the power to break the power of sin over our lives. There is no one, no Muhammad, no Buddha, no philosopher, no one can break the power of sin like God has through Jesus Christ. And we need to remember that that's the difference between our God Jehovah, the one that created the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything there is in. That's the difference between our God and others who want to elevate other gods. There is no other God that have reconciled us to them. There's no other God that has the power to take us out of sin. There is no other God.
Amen. Also in 1 John 3 verses 1 through 3, the love of God is beyond our human comprehension. The Bible says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it did not know God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. I mean, the love of God is beyond our human comprehension, even as the writer said, what manner of love is this? When you consider even for a moment how wonderful the love of God is, that there is no greater love that a man has for his friends than a man would lay down his life for you. As filthy as we were, as filthy and undone as we yet are, God keeps on loving us. So if we have given you the impression that we have it all together or that we haven't messed up since we were saved, every morning we wake up, we are living on the mercies of God. New mercies we see. Great is the faithfulness, yes, and the love of God toward us. It is because of his mercies that we are not consumed. We need God every hour, every minute of every day. The love of God has consumed our souls, and it is because of his love that we are able to stand in the grace of our God and proclaim the goodness and the grace and the mercy and the truth of our God, all because Jesus loves me.
In Jeremiah 31:3, it says, the Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. And this is what God has spoken to Jeremiah in regards to the people of Israel. And I can hear him saying that even unto us now. He's saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, meaning his love will never ever run out, that his love is eternal. And he says, I have drawn you with an unfailing kindness. And you know, God is drawing each and every one of us day by day. He wants us to come into his presence. He wants our eyes to be open to the love that he has for us, because he, in his love, there are blessings and there are benefits to his people that return the love that he has given unto us.
The Bible says that love never fails.
Love never
It talks
fails.
About all of the other things that you might experience in the Spirit of God, prophecies and preaching and everything. Those things will one day come to an end, but love will never fail because God is love. I mean, he is the essence, the embodiment of love. If you want to know what love is, you can pick up any thesaurus, any dictionary, and they'll do their best to explain it. But the truth of the matter is that they come far short of really depicting true love when they try to do it outside of God, because God is love.
Yes,
he is the essence of love. Everything that love is embodied in God. Now, we have taken it and tried to corrupt it in our natural world, but when you get to the heart of the matter, everything about love, where it's inexplicable, you can't explain love. You just know, I just love them. I can't explain why I love them. I just do. It doesn't make sense. You're getting there in the realm of God where it doesn't make sense. The natural mind cannot comprehend the things of God. They seem foolishness to the natural man, but in the spirit, God gives us a glimpse of his love and who he is, because he allows us to see beyond what the natural mind can comprehend and allows us to understand that he loves without reason. He loves without end, and his love will never fail.
Oh, I am so glad, because even as you're talking, I can remember some situations I was in, and I am just so glad that he loves me unconditional. You know, one thing about it is, he said that if we confess our faults before him, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of anything that we have done. He said, though your sins would be as red as scarlet, he said, I will make them as white as snow. He says that he will purify your heart. So that's the reason why we should never be afraid to approach him, never be afraid to confess our faults before him, is because he loves us. He's not like someone that will come to us and say, listen, I've done you wrong, and please accept my apologies. And based upon how you're feeling or the mood of the day, you'll say, well, maybe I will, or maybe I won't. Or you may say, I may forgive, but I won't forget. But when when you come before God, he says, listen, I want to hear it. And he says that I will wash you as white as snow. And not only that, the thing about it is he says that when you confess it, he says that he will throw it in the sea of forgetfulness. He says that as far as the east is from the west, that's how far that I have separated your sins. He says, so just come unto me. I mean, when you know that, when you honestly know that he is the one that you can confess to and know that he's not a one that's going to have a hammer and bang it over your head, but he's drawing you to him. See, just come, just come, just come, just come unto me. He said, all those who are heavy laden and burdened down, he said, just come. That's all he wants you to do, because he knows that many of you are restless and without peace. But the love of God is saying unto you, just come, please, just come and you'll know me. You'll know me as a father. You'll know me as a shepherd. You'll know me as the love of your soul. You will taste and see how good I am, and you will know me for yourself. You don't have to go off of another person's experience or description of how good I am. He said, I want you to come for yourself, and you too will see how good I am.
Hallelujah. The song says, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me that he died at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. And the last verse says, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. It was love that drew salvation's plan. It was love that compelled God to give his only begotten son. It was love that commanded Jesus to finish the work for which he was born. It was love that drove him to that cross. It was love in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, Father, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, because of the love that I have for these that you have given to me, I will say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. It was love that allowed him to let those whom he had created spit upon him and ridicule and beat him and mock him. It was love that allowed him to constrain himself. For the song and even the word says he could have called the angels to annihilate everyone that was trying to crucify him. But he decided to die because he so loved you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. I don't know about you, but today I'm fully persuaded, can't be dissuaded. I know that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. How about you? Do you know that Jesus loves you?
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your great love that you have shown toward us, a love that's unconditional, a love that will not turn anyone away, that love that, Father, that permeates our soul, that love that brings us into your presence, that love that comforts us in the midnight hour, that love that heals us when we're feeling pain, God, that love that speaks softly into our ears, that love that, God, that have regularly regulated our mind, that love that had pulled us back from the edge of the cliff, that love that exceeds and extends beyond any other love that we know. God, we thank you for that love that you have given unto us, and we praise you in the precious name of Jesus. Oh God, for the word said, for the joy that was set before him, that he endured the cross, not even thinking about the shame, but he looked down through the pathways of time and saw me and you and said, it's worth at all. Oh my God, I thank you. The love that he stood there, he hung upon that cross, and the nails in his hands and the nails in his feet, the lashes on his back, the thorns that were placed upon his head. Oh God, when the blood shed, when the blood came down, it was the love of God that saved me. Oh God, oh, the love of Jesus that says, come underneath the cross where the blood, oh my God, drips down, that blood that signifies God, your love, that blood that covers us, that blood that secures us, that blood that have called us your own. Oh my God, we could never repay you for that which you've done for us, but we thank you that, God, that you have glorified yourself and that you have justified us, God, because of the blood. And we thank you and we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.
Jesus, I need just a little more Jesus. I need